Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 16. Chatur vidha bhajante maam jana sukriti norjuna artu jigyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatarshaba. The word-for-word meaning is as follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport. Unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures and they are called Sukritinal, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotion service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. So we'll have a small discussion on this and then we'll have a long discussion on Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's come. That book has come. Okay. My particular reason for choosing this section, I'm reading this book Bhakti Bhava by His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, and I like the way he gave a very contemporary understanding of these four kinds of people. So we begin with Prabhupada saying, unlike the miscreants. Obviously it means these miscreants have been described before, which happens to be in the previous verse, where Krishna says, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya aparita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. That four kinds of people do not come to me. And who are they? Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Here, Krishna says, who comes to him and for what purpose? Prabhupada is explaining here that they are not pure devotees, because pure devotion service is without any aspiration. So these are people who, and we could be all at least searching in our own hearts, we can find that we did come from this pool. The fact is we have come to Krishna, and the fact is we have been offered pure devotional service. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they have never practiced mixed devotional service. What they have done is pure. But they have accommodated others who may have at certain time in their lives shown some desires or who may fall in these any of these categories. Now, by the way, we give examples for these four categories, and they don't seem to be simple materialistic people. Like for Artharthi, we get the example of Dhruva Maharaj. And now suddenly you can't call him a materialistic person, because Lord Chaitanya used to hear the stories of Dhruva and Prahlad again and again and again and again and again. He never got tired of that. So, how do we understand where we stand, and when we give Krishna's message, what do we do with this kind of a query? If somebody says, I have a material desire, what do I do with that? Do we say, unless you are pure, don't even bother coming to Krishna? Or we can say that, yeah, whatever you want, Krishna will give you. And we may have this doubt, what if he doesn't? So, how Krishna sees this particular situation is very nicely presented by Prabhupada in this purport, and we will try to see that as far as possible. So Prabhupada gives the highest ideal, which is pure devotional service. Obviously, why? Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1111 defines pure devotion thus: Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma adyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, anukul, and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is jnana karmadi anavritam. That is called pure devotional service. Now it is interesting, what happens to these people who come to Krishna? When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, miscreants are those described in the previous words. For them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with such spiritual improvement, nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. So Devamrit Maharaj, he calls the artha as a materially exhausted person, which we sometimes call fried out in our language. Material nature literally fries you in various situations. And a person may not have a clue as to what's to be done. At that time, if by good fortune, if someone says, you come to this particular, come to Krishna and ask from him. In fact, I know a person who had come to Mumbai, must be in 50s or 60s from his village, and for many, many weeks and months, he could not find a job, he could not find a place to live. So, in frustration, he saw on the footpath one fellow with a parrot. I don't see them many of them nowadays, but So he asked him that, you know, can your parrot tell me when I would get my desires fulfilled? So he said, you approach him with faith and he will. So he gave him his fee, which was like 50 paise or 1 rupee at that time. And the parrot goes and he picks up one card. And it said, kaam ho jayega. You will get your desires fulfilled. So he said, after that, I became somewhat of a believer in God or some kind of higher power. So the individual living entity's faith is so fragile, and it can actually be established on anything under the sun. Sometimes we find people accept a mere mortal as God. How did he become God? Well, he gave me this benediction, or he did this for me, or he did that for me. Because at a particular time when you are so materially distressed, you are so exhausted, that if anything works, in fact, we find when we read the Lilamrit, Srila Prabhupada appeared on the scene when the hippie movement was at its peak, and it was almost as if it was a ready-made situation for him. Prabhupada did not, like we sometimes before going to some program, we try to understand the proper contours, you know, what kind of people, whether they are inquisitive, they like question answers or this or that. Prabhupada didn't have any of this kind of a opportunity. But we read in his Jaladutta prayers that he was praying fervently to Krishna that you sit on my tongue and you make my words understandable to them. In fact, it is so difficult. Sometimes Prabhupada had to just tell, there is a, I don't remember the exact incident, but at one point of time Prabhupada said, this Mahamantra is the only thing I have. If you feel it doesn't work, what can I do? This is the only thing I have, and please accept it. And initially, when people would ask, will chanting Hare Krishna give me this or give me that? Prabhupada said, yes, you'll have everything. For this Artharthi, Prabhupada gives a story of a common robber, a thief, and most possibly he was in danger of being caught, and he was running away from one incident, and he came across this kind of a satsang, and he just quietly sat there. The people who were looking up for him, they went away. But he kept on listening because the speaker started talking of a very nice place, bank of a river. There are plenty of cows. And there's only one boy looking after this herd of cows. He has a lot of ornaments on his body. So till the time he was talking of land, cows, rivers, cows and other things, he was not actually attentive. But then when he heard only one boy and completely bedecked with ornaments, so he said, if I can get this kind of job done, then I don't need to run around here and there for a year or more. The katha over, he goes to the pandit and says, where is this place? So he says, it's Vrindavan. How do I go there? It's near Mathura. Who is this boy? So he says, some call him Govind, some call him Gopal. Are you sure he's alone? He said, yes. Are you sure he has all ornaments? He said, yes. So Vrindavan, Mathura, Govind, Gopal. These are the four key words he remembers. And all the time he's chanting, lest he may forget that. And then he goes there. Now Krishna responds to your motivation more clearly to the intensity of your motivation. So somehow it reaches Mathura, then he comes to Vrindavan, and as he is nearing this place, his intensity also is heightened, and he actually comes face to face with this small coward boy. So he says, now that I've come so close, I shouldn't be, you know, making any false moves. So he goes before Krishna and says, you're very nice. Prabhupada 2-3 times gives a little bit of a small twist in this story. And he says, your ornaments are very nice. So Krishna says, my mother put them on me. He says, will you give them to me? He says, no, she will be angry. Now this is a simple kind of a conversation. It's not a big, heavy philosophical discussion going on here. But by this small interaction, his heart becomes purified. All of a sudden, he decides, I don't need anything. So this is one instance of someone coming to Krishna, asking for something, having something in mind, and then when he gets Krishna, whether it's darshan or whether that realization, you get the feeling that I actually don't need this. Dhruva Maharaj basically captures the mood by saying, by getting your darshan, I feel as if I have achieved a rare diamond. Tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam. You are so rare, even the demigods and Munindra, best of the philosophically astute rishis, they can't get you. But somehow I achieved your darshan. Kachan vichinvan api divya ratnam. I feel as if my aspiration was like a broken piece of glass. But now I have divya ratnam. And the last line is very important. Swamin kritartho asmi. Artharthi is one who wants a material goal. Krita artha. My objective is fulfilled. And then he adds, varam na yache. Don't give me what I came here for. Now why would Krishna not give? There is a very interesting thing. Those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are curious, like I see a lot of college students here, so I don't know, but at least 2-3 decades ago, college hostels, there would be, especially science students, they would try to do some planchet. Heard of it? Or a Ouija board, trying to contact with spirits. Nowadays, getting a job is so difficult that the only thing you have in mind is, you know, when do I get out of this and when do I get a job. But at least in some cases, there are people who are interested in the paranormal. There are magazines and there are newspaper articles regularly coming about something which is not normal. And that makes someone think as to, is there something beyond this world, or do our laws of physics actually describe everything what we have? Again, Devamrita Swami Maharaj has had written an article about certain organisms which were living at temperatures of 600 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a back-to-order article saying, what's happening at 600 degrees Fahrenheit? So these organisms, bacteria or even smaller than them, they were living, they were reproducing, they were having their community life and everything. So his point was, this world is so variegated. But we are nowadays trying to just think in terms of the way we live, and whether if these living conditions are not there everywhere, then there could be no life in other places also. But no, that's a very, very narrow kind of way of looking at things. So people become curious, and curious people have, by dint of being curious, they have to have some open mind. So no matter where you stand among them, The Jnani is singled out as little bit special, which we'll see briefly, because that's another verse where Krishna says, one who comes to me with knowledge that I am the Supreme Lord and he should be my devotee, he is the best among them. But doesn't mean those who come are in any way inferior. The very notion that they have come to Krishna gives Krishna immense pleasure. So we'll go to the Dhruva Maharaj story, where Dhruva is telling Lord Narayan, he saw the four-armed form, that don't give me any benediction. And the Lord says, no, take it. You will get your post, the position which you wanted, plus you rule for something like 36,000 years, plus you will have a benediction that none of your senses will ever go slack, or you will experience old age or disease. I was asking this question to someone, like, aren't we supposed to refuse whatever Krishna gives? Isn't that the definition of pure devotional service? So why the Lord insisted that you take? We know that there are examples, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Kolavecha Sridhar, he refused the benediction. But what did he refuse? He refused that I need to be given suzerainty over a kingdom, give me kingship or a royal palace. No. But he did ask something. Kolavecha Sridhar was such a pure soul that he did ask something. And what he asked was, this Nimai Pandit, this arrogant scholar, should come to my, I don't think it was a shop or something, must have been just a small stool on which he would be keeping his banana leaves and cups and other things. He should come to me every day and he should bargain with me about the price. And after a lot of haggling, for more than an hour at least, then he can buy whatever he wants. That was his rasa, that was the thing which he wanted. So obviously, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they are of a very high order. But then, the explanation is given, what about ordinary people like you and me, or at least me? If you feel that Krishna consciousness means you go before the Lord, you ask for something, when he gives you, you refuse it. You may say, what's the point in asking then? So, these four, they act like Krishna's advertisers. Prabhupada says here very clearly, sometimes distressed, sometimes curious, sometimes knowledgeable. You see? So when, even if it is a sometime thing, even if it is a very rare thing and they come to Krishna, in fact the acharyas, they give such a nice gloss over this. This is there in the Burijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me. That when Krishna sees somebody coming with artha goal, artha goal, or a jigyasu, maybe just check out what the Hare Krishnas are doing, you know, I've heard so much noise coming from this particular place, let me see what do they do. He says, as this person is approaching me, I'm already making plans how to satisfy him. Vishwanath Chaktipat gives this gloss on Krishna's, what is Krishna's mentality? Why? There could be a chance that somebody has a disease, somebody has some skin problem, he comes to Krishna. Somebody has a heart problem, he comes to Krishna. Somebody has some stomach problem, he comes to Krishna. And after that problem is solved, there is a danger that he might forget who solved it. Is it not? Depending upon your maturity, you might come before Krishna, like I think Radhanath Maharaj gave the example, the Apollo mission was in danger. Of course, every mission was having some kind of danger, but this was in real danger. Their three astronauts were in that space capsule. They had been pushed out of space, I mean, out of gravitational pull. They were revolving around the Earth, and as they were attempting re-entry, some minor glitch, some minor fault was proving to be so dangerous that for a few seconds the temperature would be like a blasting furnace and they all will die. It could be for a few seconds only. And they were approaching re-entry and they were trying to fix it. And somehow some hatch or something was not opening. Now these people are in this central control room and they are sending distress signals. The astronauts there are not knowing what to do. So at that time, the President of the United States issued a summons saying that everybody please pray. And they actually were praying. Church bells were tolling all the time. And people were told that please pray, please pray. So people prayed. It is an Artha situation. People kept on praying, praying hard. And at the appointed time, just before that particular time, that had somehow opened, something was fixed, they made their entry and they were picked up from the ocean and they gave their interviews and everything was nice. And the scientists said, we did it. And they had a whole lengthy explanation how they did it. That we tried this and this thing failed, but at the last moment someone did this. But what about that prayer? Someone could ask them, I think you all forgot that at one point of time you could not do anything about it. So this is the danger for someone. Like you come to Krishna with a scant amount of piety and then there is every danger you might feel, actually I did it or it was my luck. But from Krishna's point of view, the moment somebody comes is very happy. And when they come, the more pious among them, when they go out and say, the Lord is very kind. He actually gave me what I wanted. Of course, I am not so happy now because like whatever you have, if it is material, it's perishable. And you might not. How many times have we got something what we wanted and later we said, well, it's not exactly gorgeous looking. Like we buy something at the shop. It was so nice there. But now that we put on, and we find kind of faded a little bit here and there or whatever. So this is the problem with going to Krishna with material desires. We always get a second thought that this is not exactly what I wanted. I'll finish off by reading the last paragraph. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. This is explained when, like a small example, a king once decided that I want to give people whatever they would like, land, cloth, money, gold, silver, whatever. So all the poor people came and they kept on asking for this or that. It was up to a certain time of the day. As the time was approaching, the king asked the minister that, is everybody satisfied? So he said, yes, practically there is nobody now, so we can retire, we can go back to your home. To your palace. Then someone came and said, there's an old woman. She's just so old, frail, she's just walking slowly. I think she's walking in this direction, so maybe she wants something. So the king says, all right, we'll wait. The woman took a long time. She came and the king said, yes, what can I do for you? She said only one thing. I want you to accept me as your mother. So the king said, how do I do that? Just call me mother and accept me as that. And what else? Nothing. And she went. So the king was puzzled for some time. How can I satisfy her? She just wanted me to call her mother like I am her son. Now after some days, slowly, slowly the news filtered and everybody came to know that the king has accepted this old lady as his mother. So the minister said, "Your Majesty, there is something I'd like to tell you." He said, "Yes." "Everybody is saying that she is your mother now. So how can she stay there? She's living in that old hut. She has a small land, one cow. She keeps on working with those kind of tools, with those kind of animals." So the king said, "What am I supposed to do then?" He said, "She's your mother. You have to bring her here." So he said, "All right, it's not a big pressure on me." So he calls her. And then, obviously, she can't wear these kind of clothes. So the king said, "Give her then something nice. Give her ornaments." So the point is, those who came for some land got that land. But now they have to maintain it. Those who came for some gold got that gold. But after some time, maybe it is sold, maybe it is this. It didn't increase for sure. But she was the most intelligent of all. She didn't ask for anything. But now she has the king who is thinking, "What am I supposed to do for her now?" So the example is that we come to Krishna with a very specific kind of a desire and Krishna fulfills that. But then we have to now maintain it, we have to manage it, we have to understand whether this was the right decision or not. But those, although it sounds difficult, although it sounds very like surgically precise, jnana karmadi anavritam, Srila Prabhupada has shown how to begin the path of pure devotional service. In fact, this is that rare gift. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared to give something which was not given for a long time. Anarpitam charim chirat. Only out of his compassion he came and he gave this pure devotional service, the seeds of which are sown by the simple chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. I'd like to request Krishna and Prabhu to kindly give the actual class.